You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hello, happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm your guest host, Christina Long, filling in for Matt Jones today. He's still a little under the weather, but he'll be back later this week. On the show today, Ethan Westerman's going to join me later in the studio to talk a little bit of Arkansas men's basketball as they get ready for LSU. But before that, we have Washington State baseball coach Nathan Choate with us today to talk a little bit about the Cougars, Arkansas baseball's opening weekend opponent. They've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, a four-game series against the Cougars this weekend. Coach Choate's entering his second season at Washington State, and the Cougars are playing their first season in the Mountain West, I believe. So they were picked to finish third this preseason in that league. Coach Choate, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having us on. It's about 3 degrees here, so looking forward to some warmer weather. I know it's going to be a little chilly there, but it's going to be definitely warmer than Pullman.
Yeah, I mean, 33 is preferable to 3 for sure, but I was going to ask you a little bit about, you know, how has the weather out there impacted your ability to get ready for the season?
Yeah, you know, the January was actually okay. It was mid-30s, a lot of sunshine. We were on the field quite a bit. The last week, you know, we've been at our indoor quite a bit. And pretty fortunate that we got a great indoor facility, so we've been using that. But would rather be outside for sure.
Yeah, what do you miss kind of having to practice indoors versus getting to be outside?
Yeah, I think inside is just a different feel. You know, we're on an indoor football facility, so there's lines and there's not, you know, there's not just traditional infield dirt and that kind of stuff. And so just the ability to hit fly balls gets limited inside and that kind of stuff. So we could do some infield stuff. We could pitch and all of that. But just some of the nuances of the game are missing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You told D1 Baseball earlier this preseason that the strength of your 2025 team was going to be ability to throw strikes and play more than capable defense. Just what can you tell me about the makeup of your team and then about what you're expecting from this trip to Arkansas?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest strength is I think we shouldn't beat ourselves too much. We should throw a lot of strikes, play really good defense, put the ball in play, put some pressure on the opposing defense. And so I think if you do that, you're going to be in a lot of games. You know, the game's decided on 2 or 3 pitches. You know that going into the game, you just don't know which 2 or 3 pitches it's going to be until the game's over. So I think we play good, clean, fundamental baseball. We'll be in a lot of baseball games. Obviously, Arkansas has a great program. That's one of the reasons we wanted to take our team down there. We only have 2 returning pitchers that have pitched in a Division I game. So, you know, hey, what better environment, right, than to pitch a bomb in your college debut against a top 5 SEC team. So, obviously, a really good program. Ton of respect for what Coach Van Horn's done there and excited to compete against those guys.
What are the challenges of working with, you know, maybe less experienced pitchers or even just new pitchers that you've brought in to kind of fill those gaps? What have been the challenges of kind of working with them this offseason?
Yeah, just the lack of experience. I mean, it's not really a stuff issue or anything like that, but it's really hard to replicate experience in a game where you can kind of reference, hey, remember when this happened and you did this? And so, you know, there may be a couple issues that come up that we haven't gone through before, and the only way to go through it is to actually do it and learn from it. And so I think just the lack of experience, situational baseball is kind of the biggest thing. It's not a stuff issue or talent issue or anything like that.
You've got a freshman, Kyler Northrop, that's D1 Baseball's got him as the number 3 freshman in the Mountain West. What has he brought so far, and what excites you about him?
Yeah, 6'4", athletic third baseman, really good feel for the game as a freshman. Not a big surprise, you know, he's going to start for us on opening day. And so to start as a true freshman in that type of environment, I think that says a lot about him. But really just his feel for the game and understanding of our defense, what we're trying to do, and offensively competitive at-bats and a real understanding of what he's trying to do. So really, really good player. Glad he's in our program.
This trip to Arkansas is going to be a first of many for you. It looks like your first 12 games are in Arkansas or in Texas. How do you prepare your team for those extended road trips, you know, long trips, and then a lot in a row away from home?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if you can prepare them, right? It's just, hey, you just get ready to go and you go play baseball. And, man, if our players can't be excited to go play baseball the first 12 games of the year, then there's something wrong with them. We got the wrong guys because everybody in the country is just kind of itching to get going. So I think it's going to be more about just getting them to stay in character, get comfortable in the environments that we're playing in. But I know they will be excited. But, you know, the flip side is the weather that we're going to be playing in is a little bit better than the weather back at home right now. So I don't think anybody's too sad about that.
Do you know who you're going to pitch this weekend, and what do you kind of expect to learn from, like you said, throwing them into a pretty tough road environment, an SEC environment?
Yeah, I got a couple guys that are I think we're going to throw. Some guys competing for some starting jobs. Nick Lewis, who's a redshirt freshman. Luke Myers, who's a junior college kid. Griffin Smith, who's a right-handed pitcher. We'll probably see some time this weekend. And so really for us, because we don't have a ton of experience, it's going to be trial and error a little bit. And so, you know, that's kind of why we're coming down there. But, yeah, we kind of have an idea of what we're going to do this weekend.
And then what did your first year as a coach up there teach you that might benefit your team this year, or that you've kind of brought yourself and your staff kind of as you head into this second season?
Yeah, I'm a West Coast guy. I'm originally from Southern California, and Pullman's a little bit different than Los Angeles. And so really in the recruiting process, finding our players that want to be here, this has a very similar feel to some Midwest towns, but on the West Coast, where the entire university in the town is based around the university. And so finding guys that fits with them and what they're looking for in their college experience, with along with being a great baseball player and those types of things, I think that's been the biggest thing, is identifying players that fit into our university's culture.
Washington State really is a really unique place. I know Pullman's really unique. Just, has anything surprised you about being there? I feel like I hear more about it in a football context, and, you know, it seems like a really cool place to see a football game. I hear a lot of people say that's kind of a bucket list destination for them to see a game. Just what have you learned about the place itself and about the area?
Yeah, you know, the thing, being in L.A. and so many sports teams down there, you know, I think the Lakers fans and Dodger fans are passionate, so I do think I have a little bit to lean on. I can tell you what, Coug fans are really passionate. So they're more passionate than some of the sports teams in Southern California. Like I said, the Lakers and Dodgers, they show up no matter what. When you're winning, they love you. When you're losing, they love you. But I think it's just a really passionate fan base, especially with conference realignment and all the things that have happened. There's a lot of Cougs nationally that care a lot about this program and had a great experience going to school here. So
yeah, it seems kind of like a similar situation to Arkansas. I mean, Washington State obviously has professional teams and multiple universities, but that's something people always talk about with Arkansas and a couple other SEC schools, is, you know, not having a pro team, or really, like, this is the team for everyone in the state. And I feel like with Washington, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like with Washington State, people in that part of the state really identify with kind of the culture of Washington State and Washington State athletics.
Yeah, all of Eastern Washington, into Idaho and Northeast Oregon, right? You have so many Coug fans, that the generational Coug fans, which I think is very similar to some SEC schools, where we have second, third, fourth generation families that have gone to Washington State or grown up following the Cougs. And so the roots run pretty deep for the Coug fans. And it's a really, really proud fan base. So excited to get going and put a good product on the field for them this year.
And then, you know, first season in the Mountain West, just what does this kind of look like to you? What is anything surprised you as part of that process, kind of joining a new conference or looking at different opponents?
Yeah, you know, we didn't have a conference until about mid-April. We weren't sure where we were going to play this year. So just having a conference with an automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament is a big deal. You know, I got, like I said, I'm a West Coast guy. I got a lot of respect for the Mountain West and the coaches and the programs in the Mountain West. And so it'll be a very challenging conference. It'll be a different style than the Pac-12. Pac-12 was so pitching heavy on Friday and Saturday, I think. The Mountain West, the elevation at some of the places we play, the ball travels a little bit more. Think of Coors Field in Colorado. You get a little bit more destinations like that where the ball travels a little bit different. So the style will be slightly different, but I know there's really good baseball.
I didn't realize it was so late in the process that you guys knew, you know, what conference schedule you'd be playing. I imagine that was frustrating, especially for you after a first year, or during your first year. You know, has it been frustrating when it feels like sometimes the machinations of conferences are overlooking sports like baseball, you know, things other than football sometimes?
Yeah, no, it definitely is frustrating, but I will tell you, perspective is a wonderful thing. When I first became a head coach, COVID hit. And so I learned how to navigate that. And as far as being flexible in LA County with what you can and can't do during those times, I think it really prepped me for this round of conference realignment. because I was just like, okay, well, let us know when you got a conference. We'll just keep going, right? And so we still got to play baseball. We, you know, so yes, it was a challenge. It is frustrating, but compared to what I think, perspective is a pretty important thing when you look at it. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I imagine that was crazy as, you know, first time head coach and dealing with COVID. I mean, it's been interesting Even now how much has changed even since then, just in terms of the, you know, like we said, conferences, the way college athletics is working. It feels like so long ago at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if we ever go through a global pandemic, you know, I have some experience doing it now. So in 100 years, if I'm around, then we'll know how to navigate that thing. But yeah, no, that was obviously a challenge. It does feel like a long time ago. But like I said, it does help you kind of navigate some of the challenges with conference realignment and just being a little bit more flexible than I probably would have been pre-COVID and how we would handle things.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you joining us. I hope you have a safe trip down here, and we'll see you out at Baum Walker this weekend. Thank you again.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. I'm joined now by Ethan Westerman here in our studio. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas, and if you're looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all of your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can visit them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan, it's an interesting basketball game for the men's team tomorrow with LSU coming. You know, they've already lost to them once. That's LSU's only SEC win, as we talked about with Anthony yesterday. It was a close loss for Arkansas. But this, I mean, you got to have this one because LSU is 1-9 in SEC play and 12-11 overall. You're at home. It really should be a win. I guess, what are you expecting to see tomorrow?
Yeah, whenever you're doing the math for Arkansas, and it's, I mean, we're in February. It's natural to do the math for a bubble team of how you get to the tournament. And this is one that it feels like if you don't win that, how are you going to win any? Like, this is one you just have to have. Arkansas felt like it got away from them down there in Baton Rouge. Really should they have protected that lead there and then beaten Oklahoma? You feel totally different right now about just the path to get in, but they didn't. So you have to beat LSU this time. I think that it's the type of game that it's crazy because LSU has such a bad record. I mean, South Carolina has a terrible record, and they've almost beaten Auburn. They got beat by Florida on the last second. You can be a bad record SEC team and still be good, and that's how I kind of feel about LSU. I mean, they just got done. Ole Miss was down by like 10 to 15 points with 5 minutes left, and Ole Miss came back and beat them with, I think, a tip in at the buzzer. I mean, they just almost had a top 25 win entering this game. So LSU's not a bad team, but it is one that you feel like if Arkansas is going to make the tournament, you just have to have this one. I think that playing at home, Arkansas has not played great at home in SEC play. I mean, you still only have the Georgia win at home. This is the type of game that if you don't win, it makes everything a lot more difficult. Arkansas's got to find a way.
The rest of the home slate, we played the schedule game a little bit yesterday, especially with the road games, but the rest of the home slate, once they got past Alabama, it was like, okay, the rest of these look pretty winnable. I mean, LSU, then they're away for two games, Missouri, Texas, and then they have Mississippi State at the end on March 8th. So None of those look like world-beating teams. I mean, if you look at the SEC standings, Texas has 4 wins. Let's see, Mississippi State has 5. Missouri has 6. I mean, none of these, you know, around the middle of the pack, none of which, you know, we've talked about what the SEC is, about how it is hard to have a great record in the SEC right now. Somebody's got to be losing these games, and all these teams are playing really well. So it's not necessarily, you can't just look at the record and say, oh, this team stinks necessarily, but especially for those teams in the middle of the pack. I mean, these are teams that are playing well, but, you know, just because of the strength of the league, you just don't really know how it's going to shake out. And like you were saying with LSU, the record is bad and the performances haven't been great, but they have had chances at some games. They're not getting destroyed every time they see the floor. So I think that's the thing for Arkansas is you do have to have it, because like you said, if you don't win this one, it's not looking good. I think it's a big confidence hit. It's a confidence hit for fans, and it's a confidence hit for the team. And you kind of have to – you have to get a game like this. You have to get one against these – the two teams that are below Arkansas in the SEC standings right now, you have to get those wins.
Yeah, those are the – you just got to have them. Because not only is it a loss, there's rare opportunity on the rest of Arkansas' schedule to take, like, a quote-unquote bad loss. LSU isn't, like, a disastrous loss, or else, I mean, we wouldn't be talking about
but
Arkansas.
But of the games they have left, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, being at home, I think that's quad three, which you can't be taking quad three losses right now whenever you're trying to make your case to make the tournament. So if there was a bad loss in the SEC, it would be South Carolina and LSU. But like, that's just the crazy thing about the league this year, though, is anybody, if you don't come ready to play, LSU will beat Arkansas if Arkansas does not come ready to play. It's not like a team that you can, there's no team in the league this year that you can bring your C game and their A game not beat you. Like, you have to... you have to come ready for LSU to come out hot and ready to play. Arkansas has to bring it. They can't overlook LSU and look ahead to Texas A&M, which waits on Saturday. I think this is one of those weeks that I'm looking at it, and I'd say if Arkansas can have a 2-0 week, that's you're in a great spot. You got to have 2-0 weeks in the SEC. I know they kind of got, like, strangely one with the – it wasn't like your typical week because they lost to – they didn't have a midweek game before Kentucky, but they strung together two in a row. And two in a row in the SEC is just huge. I think it does a lot for your confidence. It does a lot for your resume. And this is one of the weeks that if they beat LSU at home, if they could go to A&M and find a way, which I of their games against ranked teams remaining, I don't know why. I just feel like A&M could be the one that you could find a way to win just with the style of play. But I just think that they... this is one of those weeks that they could really make their March case. But it has to start with beating LSU. You can't beating A&M would be great, but if it comes after losing to LSU, it feels kind of minute because you've taken a loss that you really needed to avoid.
That's the thing, is if they go into A&M coming off a loss to LSU, that confidence hit, just that they've had, you know, road success. Like you said, those two wins, Kentucky and Texas, those were big road wins for them. And I think a road win at Texas A&M would be another huge resume boost, but they can't take the resume hit here with LSU. So, I mean, there's a lot. It's crazy because there is so much on the line for them in pretty much every game now. I mean, they don't have to be perfect, but they've got to get, you know, to get to that bare minimum, like we said, the 7 SEC win threshold. I mean, they really need games like this. And it's interesting because Coach Calipari has talked after the last couple of games about wanting them to play fearlessly and how they look so much better when they're fearless. And he said after the last game, you know, we weren't fearless at the beginning, and then when we became so, you know, it looked better. And it's got to be pretty hard to feel fearless when it feels like you can't really afford any missteps as you continue to build this resume down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, and I think that it's just got to be like a mind flip. Like, they got to just go into these games and not think about, you can't be thinking about the tournament else you're going to be in your head. Like, they,
but everybody's thinking about the tournament.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody's thinking about it. But I think once they step on the court, they've got to.
Right, I don't know about them. I mean everybody, like,
yeah,
watching.
Yeah. For sure. Once they step on that court, it's got to be like a, we just got to win this game type mentality. If they don't step on the court, and if they are thinking any bit ahead of LSU on Wednesday, they are going to get beat. Like, that's just the name of the game. You cannot be taking anybody lightly in this league. And I think that for them, I mean, you look at the schedule and there really is a path. Like, it's not that complicated of one either. They could, we've been talking about 7 wins. I look at it and I'm like, get to 8. Like, there's games that you can win remaining. I mean, I think everybody thought with Texas, Alabama, like, that you needed a split there, win one or the other. They did that. And so it's still kind of the same path as after the Kentucky game in my head. Although, you know, beating Alabama would have been huge for a resume. But still, road wins, it's with the SEC this year, it's almost like a road win against a team maybe nationally 1-30. It feels like the same as like if you beat a really highly ranked team at home, because number one in the quad rankings it is, and then number two, it's just the road wins are so hard to come by. So they've got to figure out how to start winning some at home, and this is just a game, you got to avoid. I think that with LSU, Arkansas should feel enough like we let that one slip down there. Like, we're the better team. Like, Arkansas shouldn't be lacking confidence going into this one, but they can't overlook.
Right. They did not get their butts kicked
at all.
I mean, it was they shouldn't have lost that game. Yeah. And so I think that helps a lot when you frame this one. And hey, you know, you said you can't look past them. Calvary always says, I don't even know who we play next. I don't even know who's next on the schedule because I'm so locked in on this one.
And I feel like that's how you just, like, this year in the SEC, you just got to be like that, because the moment you aren't, it's like you're going to be sleeping on an opponent. Like, I mean, South Carolina, I don't think they're going to go 0-18 is how many games they play. I don't think they're going to go 0-18. You don't almost beat Auburn and almost beat Florida and be a team that can't pull off a win. So I think it's just for Arkansas moving forward, can they keep up this version of themselves that's been in the past week and a half, 2 weeks, and carry that against teams that on paper you should beat? It's one thing to come out and play on your tails on fire. You're playing so hard because you know you're at Kentucky, you're at Texas, and you need this one. You got Alabama coming to town. Can you take that level of energy and just intensity that they've brought and do that against a team like LSU that on paper you should win? It's going to be it feels to me like, you know, in the football season, we got to a point where, I'm not trying to compare Mississippi State football because they were very, 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 very bad, to LSU basketball. It's not even the same. But we're at a point in the schedule where I feel like with football, you were looking at, you know, in a weird way, Mississippi State was like one of the most important games of the year, because it was like, you have to have this if you want to get to your bowl, get to a bowl game, your amount of wins. Like, this was the one that was going to lock it up for you. I feel like that's just how LSU has to be on this schedule right now. It's like, you got to win this one. You don't win this one, it becomes a lot more difficult. You don't lose to LSU and then go on a stretch of games of at A&M, at Auburn, and home versus Missouri and feel good about that.
Yeah. If South Carolina did go 0-18, when would be the last time some SEC team went over in back-to-back years? Because Missouri did it last year, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I was about to say Missouri did
it
last year.
I don't know when. I wonder if that...
Vanderbilt,
I'm sure it's happened at some point.
Vanderbilt did it 2018-19, I think.
Really?
Yeah, they went 0-18. I'm not sure of any other 0-18 since then. I'm looking real
it's
quick.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think there's been...
So that would be pretty wild if they actually managed to not win.
And
one.
It would be really weird because that Missouri team last year felt leaps and bounds just bad.
Right. It doesn't feel the same as the South Carolina team.
This South Carolina team, I'm like, man, they just got to catch a break.
Well, and they were like everybody's favorite last year because they like were surprisingly pretty good. And I know they kind of did. They kind of had the same thing as that Missouri had, you know, a year offset where Missouri had, you know, first year great stuff, great transfer class, and then they lose everybody.
Yeah.
And then they struggle a little bit.
Yeah. And Lamont Paris came, the South Carolina coach, came into SEC Media Day last year. He was the first person up and he knew they were going to be voted 16th. Like, he had his whole speech prepared about being voted 16th and how it doesn't matter. It just was funny. But, yeah, now they're right back there after their great year. But, yeah, I think Arkansas is one of those deals where it's like, just because a team has a 0 or a 1 by their name, this year's SEC is just so much different. I think that the South Carolina or LSU team put them in a different year. Their record is totally different. It's just... It's such a compounding effect when you start getting beat. I mean, one loss can turn into, I mean, ask Arkansas, we saw it, can turn into 5 really quick whenever you're just feeling beat down. I watched The Vice. Did you watch
No.
I watched it last night, and, like, you just felt like it was never going to end. Mm-hmm. Like, it was weird because you get removed from a losing streak, and you forget maybe how that felt in the moment. Because right now it does the reverse effect where you feel like Arkansas's clicking, they're going to start rattling off some wins. It like brought me back, the documentary last night, watching it right back into that losing streak. And it really is just, they're getting beat over the head. And it just, it feels like it's not going to end. And for a team like South Carolina, LSU, I don't know even what it's got to feel like right now. We thought Arkansas was bad. I can't imagine like actually competing like how they have. There's been some games in there that South Carolina's gotten blown out. LSU's gotten whooped. But like, they have been competitive. I just can't imagine continuing to be competitive and trying to, as a coach, keep your team playing that way. Like, that's got to be the biggest difficulty right now as a coach, is keeping them fighting, because once you start losing like that, it is so hard to hold on to the rope. And credit to LSU because last game they really should have beaten Ole Miss. I'd be curious to see what the win probability got up to for them. I'm actually going to check that right now. But that was a game that they really, really felt like they like had in the bag late. Yeah, it got down to, with 3 minutes left, LSU 97%.
Yeah.
Like they were up with 3 minutes left in the game, 70-59. To lose like that is a gut punch, and yeah. I'm curious to see if LSU is going to be able to recover. This is one of those games that it wouldn't shock me if LSU comes in reeling off of this loss, and if Arkansas comes ready to play, could take it to them.
Well, you mentioned the Vice documentary. We're expecting to have a producer from that show as a guest on the podcast to talk a little bit more about the making of that and, you know, how that's kind of gone and, you know, where the idea came from and everything. So we're looking forward to that here hopefully later this week. But when we come back, Ethan and I will talk a little bit more Razorback news after a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back here in the studio with Ethan Westerman, and we're actually going to shift gears a little bit to some Arkansas football because spring practices are a month away. They're going to start March 10th, so it's going to be here before we know it. I mean, right now we're all in the crossover of basketball and softball and baseball and track and all this stuff, and pretty soon you're going to throw football in the mix, and it's going to be even more chaotic than it is now.
Yeah, and it's always a time. There's no doubt about it. Once we start getting in that spring football mix, it's like a month, a little over a month by the time you get the spring game, but it feels like so much longer because it is all the time. I love the first like week or so of spring football, but then it becomes a drag. But you know, I'm excited. There's some things we definitely are looking for, I think, going into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of storylines or things to watch for because anytime you have this many new people, and this is not Arkansas specific. I mean, this is teams across the country that have new players to meet. We're working right now on our next issue of Hogs Illustrated is going to be recruiting focused. We, you know, break down all the freshman class, most of whom are already on campus. They've enrolled early. And then all the new transfers and kind of what to expect from them. You know, we spent a lot of time this offseason whenever they would get commits sort of trying to track down info on them, talk to people that covered them at their previous school, kind of find out what Arkansas is getting with them. And now we're going to have to see, you know, how Arkansas is actually going to use some of these guys and what Arkansas expects from them, which is something that is always interesting these first couple weeks of spring, because we'll hear, you know, oh, we think this guy's really good and we think he can play right away. And then maybe he's out there with the threes. And you know, where they start doesn't always mean where they're going to end. You know, sometimes they'll let the returners kind of go with the ones at first, and you'll see how it shakes out. But we learn a lot, I feel like, during that first week as far as what is expected with some of these new guys.
Yeah. My favorite part about spring football, to be honest, is I think that we go into it with some big overarching questions that we're looking for. And it's always funny to see what we should have actually been questioning and then what, like think about last year. We went into spring practice and we were like, quarterback battle. Who's going to win it?
Which, looking back, is hilarious.
It's so funny because we looked at each other at the end of practice. We were like, there is no battle.
Yeah.
Talon is the one. He is.
Which we knew he was going to be the favorite. Like, we knew that was going to be the idea, but we weren't certain. We weren't sure how much they were going to like slow play that.
Yeah. We thought we were going to get a battle.
Yes.
Like, by battle, I mean maybe Talon 75% of the reps and then Jacoby Criswell and KJ Jackson, I guess, trying to.
Malachi, I can't forget about Malachi.
Malachi Singleton.
Just because he's not here now.
I was like already moving to this season with the quarterbacks. But yeah, no. And then we literally were like, well, we can't really report that Talon's won the quarterback battle until Bobby says he has. But
which he did pretty. It was. I remember. Tell me if I'm remembering this wrong, but I remember somebody. It might have been me, but it might have been somebody else asking like about the quarterback battle. And he was like, I mean, Talon is the quarterback.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, you said it, not me.
It was one of those weird things because it was like we all thought it was going to be such a battle that it was almost like he didn't declare a winner. It was just like, oh yeah, he's our quarterback.
It was like, duh. Like, yeah, it was so funny.
So I think it's funny because we go into spring football with things like that we're looking for that we end up being like, oh, well, we just got told real quick, like, this is just how it is. And so I'm excited to see, like, maybe what are some of those things this year that I'm going in. Like, we'll talk a little bit about the different positions that we're looking at, but like there's some that I just have a lot of questions for, but I think I'll show up and then probably be like, oh, well, you've been going with the ones the whole time. There's clearly a way that this is going. I do think that spring football is good at identifying what still needs bolstered up. We think about linebackers last year. There was no doubt about it after spring practices. I mean, they had some younger guys that are talented, but you needed experience. And what did they do? They entered the spring portal window and they got linebackers, and that ended up being great for them. So it's just always interesting to see year in and year out with the turnover at this point, like what positions do need some fixing at the end of spring and what is probably pretty steady and ready to go for the fall.
There are really only a couple positions that I feel like are not that questionable or don't have that much to look at in spring. And obviously quarterback, linebacker, there's some, but you know, you got to replace Spence, but I feel like they have the pieces to do that already.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do much. I don't think they brought any transfer linebackers in, did they? And so,
no.
You know, it's just, that's pretty obvious. Like I said, quarterback, running back is and isn't at the same time, because I don't think it's a question of what they've got. It's just a question of how good are they going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be Braylon Russell. It's going to be new transfer Mike Washington. And Rodney Hill is kind of probably going to be that third kind of guy. So it's not a question of, oh, who's it going to be? It's more, A, how much – I'm interested how much they give Washington. I'm interested if Washington becomes the number one guy and Russell's kind of number two. I don't know. I don't know mm-hmm. what the split will be there. But it's not so and then how they perform. It's not so much who is it, whereas I feel like a lot of these other positions, it's who is going to be where, who is going to be starting, who is going to be getting the most playing time. I mean, we talk about receiver, offensive line, defensive line, tight end. You know, they because of how much they lost, the question then becomes – okay, who is it then?
Yeah, and I think that it's always interesting, too, to see if there's a freshman that we are completely, like, just didn't have on our
for
radar.
Sure.
Like, it's rare that there are freshmen that come in and they are, like, thrown right in the spot. But we talk about linebacker. I think Tavion Wallace, the kid from Georgia, he's one that I look at his buildup and his athleticism and stuff, and I'm like, they're going to try and get him on the field as a freshman. I'd be shocked if they don't. So it's just there are a few that I'll be curious to see, like, are you a part of the plans immediately? But, yeah, like you mentioned, like with running back and whatnot, like, do you feel good about it still after spring practice? I remember last spring, Sam Pittman, day one, were asking him questions, I think, before they started, and there was a question of, like, what he's looking for his running backs in the spring. And he said they wanted to find their ace in the hole. And they found it. JaQuindon was it for sure by the end of spring. And so you felt good about it. I'm curious to see if it's a similar message from him this year, because it feels to me more so than it did last year, because I saw JaQuindon's stats and whatnot, and I was like, okay, that's probably your guy. But now I'm going into this year, I'm like, at running back, who is going to be – are you going to have a lead back, or are you going to just have a bunch of guys that split it up? I think you want to have a lead back, but – yeah, there's a lot of things, like you mentioned, that I'm curious about as far as just production, less about, yeah, who they have, but who produces.
Right. I think Washington's capable of it. I mean, he was great at New Mexico State. He is going to be the biggest running back they have. I think he'll be 6'2", and I can't remember weight-wise how he compares to Russell, but he's a little bit taller than Russell. I mean, he'll be the biggest one they have. And then I interviewed Taylen Green for a story for the upcoming issue of Hogs Illustrated last week, and he told me Mike Washington might be the fastest guy on the team, which is surprising considering the small, fast guys they brought in at receiver. And receiver is the other huge question on this team because of what they're losing, because of how little they're going to have back from last season. So then it becomes, okay, who is actually going to get the bulk of the catches here? And a lot of the guys they brought in are small and fast, which is not a bad thing, but they don't have, you know, a big go up and get it guy. They just don't have one. So they might still get one in the spring. You know, we'll see what they want to do there. But the guys they've brought in, varying levels of experience, but similar levels of potential, I feel like, just in terms of how they were used at their previous schools. So, I mean, Cam Shanks is exciting because of the speed factor there and because of the special teams factor. But I'll be curious how much what the plan is for him actually on the offense.
Yeah.
What the plan is for him, you know, in the slot or wherever, you know, whatever they want to do with him. I think several of these guys, like I said, have a lot of potential. But like Courtney Crutchfield didn't play at Missouri really, but obviously has a lot of potential because he was so highly rated. I mean, there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
And so how they want to use him will be interesting. Omega Blake, a guy that did really well at South Carolina, left, went to Charlotte, had one of the best seasons by a Charlotte receiver, number 2 in the country in yards per reception.
Mm-hmm.
what does he do here now? You know, I think some of that, that big number with the yards per reception, which was, I think, almost 25.
It was crazy. And it wasn't like a fluke number either. Like, he had a lot of catches.
He did. So, but I think some of it had to do with, you know, the way that they play. So, I don't think we're going to see him have 25
for sure
per catch, you know, here. So what's the plan for him? I think that's, the receiver is such a big question. I'm curious how C.J. Brown, you know, one of the lone returners, and Jordan Anthony, the other one, how they factor in, you know, what the plan is for those guys in the mix with these five newcomers.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like, we're almost right back where we were last year on a sense of, like, we went into last year, like, what is the Bobby offense going to look mm-hmm. like? I think we're more so in that now of, like, Bobby, you've gotten a whole transfer winter cycle and recruiting class to get maybe some more of the type of guys that will fit your offense. What is the Bobby Petrino offense going to really look like? I think that's what I'm most excited to see this year. And I think spring practice is going to be our first real glimpse at it. It seemed to me like on the offensive line in the portal, they went and they really got guys who could pass block, which, I mean, Bobby loves to throw the ball. That's no secret. So I'm just, yeah, I'm very curious to see what they're trying to do this year as far as, like you mentioned, you don't really have your go up and get it big receiver, but a bunch of little speedy guys, say little, they're probably all way bigger than me, but comparatively. So I'm just curious to see like how the Bobby offense is looking year two.
And how Talen looks in it in year two.
For sure. And I think that it's interesting because we're talking about the receivers. It's, you got to think about, like, this is Talen's third year in a row to be throwing to a totally different group of receivers. Like, he has had to learn different receivers 3 years in a row. And I don't know, I've never been a quarterback. I was a middle school wingback, RIP to my football career. I have no clue what that's like for a quarterback, like, to have to learn different receivers like that and all the timing and whatnot. And I would assume it just is a bunch of repetitions and getting to actually know the guys and, like, form that chemistry. I know I had some friends in college who were receivers on the team, and they would all the time be like, I'm going to throw. Like, it was like the, you know, like, for me, like, I'm going to go watch a movie. Oh, I'm just going to go throw. Like, that's what they do for fun a lot of the time. I don't know if fun's the right word, but that's what they do a lot.
Right.
So I'm curious to see how much, as now as Talen has no doubt about it, he needs to be the leader of this team. You are the senior quarterback, returner, you're the face. How much ownership is he taking right now? And how, like, I don't know, how serious is he about having a great last year and getting that time with the receivers? So I'll be curious to see how that looks in spring, because I think last year we saw a little bit of, like, just not on the same page sometimes in some of these, like, spring practices. Like, it was just clear, like, it'll take some time. Like, Bobby was in complete, like, everybody was ready to see this fiery, angry Bobby Petrino in spring practice, and he was so chill that you were like,
you wrote about him being in teacher mode. Yeah, he truly exactly. felt like he was talking to them like a teacher. Now, later, the fire came later when they were past the point where he expected them to have it down, and then they make mistakes. You know, it was there. But early on, he was very much in teacher mode. I remember you writing about that.
So I'm just curious to see, like, if, like, how much of teacher mode he has to be in again. Because, like, we were like, somebody even asked him in a press conference, like, have you mellowed out? And he was like, I'm just teaching right now. Like, it's like, we knew it was coming. So, a lot to look for, I think, in spring practices, but more than anything, I mean, we let off with it just about how many new guys they have. You're going to have to learn which new guys are probably in the mix and which ones might not be. And then I'll be very interested to see after spring how they attack the portal, because they have really, if there's one thing that last year was true, is that after their spring practices, the guys that they went after in the portal, they did not just go after them to, like, oh, we need some more numbers. It was like, we have a need here. Steven Dix, we need you to come play linebacker. Now look at him. Him and Sorry are coming back, and they're, you know, you feel good about them. It's just, how are they going to attack the, from a personnel perspective, plugging holes after the spring? And are there some guys that maybe we're sleeping on right now?
I think one of the biggest things is to remember is that while they have so much new, last year, everybody was new because also it was a new offense. You know, Petrino was first year. Everyone had learning to do. Everyone was trying to get on the same page. Now you have some people that have been in it. You have a lot of new faces, but you have some people that have done it for a year and they're a little bit more comfortable now. And they'll have learning to do. Things will change. Things will be different. When you get new personnel, you have to adapt. Talen is different. You know, some of these offensive linemen that were here last year, you know, like Carmona, some of these guys that can sort of teach a little bit, or that they at least have their feet under them a little bit more than some of the new guys. It's not just everyone is scrabbling to figure out what's happening. You know, they've been there before a little bit. I think you'll see that be different, especially for Talen. I think that's one of the things that we talked about all season last year is, okay, what's he going to do when he's more comfortable, when he's had another year in this system? You know, I think having a new crop of receivers that has to learn is a lot. Having a new crop of offensive linemen that has to get used to playing together is always going to be something with anybody that portals a lot of offensive linemen. I think tight end is going to be interesting, how they factor in, mm-hmm. you know, replacing Lucas. So, I mean, I think while there is so much new and that the newness is always, you know, this is going to happen every season now, is the focus in spring especially is going to be on all the new guys because that's what's new and different. But I think the biggest thing to remember is that it should be different because it is a little different. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is new this time around.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, it's the portal is going to keep portaling in the winter. And I think we're going to keep on rolling around every spring and talking about the new guys in. I mean, I think we spend enough time in the winter months talking about who all left, but now we really are at the time where we can talk about the new guys that are in and let those guys who left be the talk of, you know, the Ole Miss beat right now of these guys that came from Arkansas. It's the way the land in college football right now. And it's probably not slowing down.
Yeah. Well, we'll be out at all the spring practices and we'll have coverage on WholeHogSports.com. We've got that recruiting issue of Hogs Illustrated magazine coming up soon. We're excited about that. We've got some interviews with some players. We've got some interviews with some new guys that we're looking forward to, and breaking down the freshmen and breaking down the new transfers for everybody just in time for spring practice to get started, so that everybody kind of knows what's happening as we head into those practices. Because like we said, there is a lot of new. There's a lot of new guys to get to know, a lot of names, numbers, faces to start memorizing for fall. But we're excited for spring practice to get going. I mean, like we've talked about, we're ready for baseball. We're glad softball's here, and spring football means it's getting warmer, and it means we're getting, you know, we're busy, but we're getting into football. Will be back. We can turn the page and look forward to a different season.
And spring football for a reporter, it's like it's our fall ball. Like it's our get to learn the team a little bit without as much pressure.
Exactly.
I love
it's
that
the tune up.
Yeah, I love that time of year where it's like, okay, I'm putting faces to names. So I'm excited for really that time of year. It's very chaotic, but it is so much going on. It's fun. And yes, warmer weather is always welcome here.
And we'll certainly have a lot to talk about on the podcast during all this crossover season. Well, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back here again tomorrow to talk a little bit more basketball and a little bit more baseball as we look ahead to the season starting this weekend. Thanks for joining us.